Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we'll be reading a story called It Wasn't a Real Hospital. It's from a collection of stories called 54 Sleepless Nights, written by Tobias Wade. I hope you enjoy this story, and if you do, please consider picking yourself up a copy of this collection of stories. Links will be in the description. Let's get started. The ambulance said they were taking me to the hospital, but I don't know where I really am. My eyes were closed from the pain in my chest as they laid me on a stretcher. It was a sharp, hot pain like a knife. But the worst part was that it didn't stay put in the same place. The pain almost seemed to crawl around my insides like I'd swallowed a centipede and it was gnawing its way through me. The paramedics were talking fast, throwing back and forth long and unfamiliar medical terms as they speculated about what might be wrong with me. I had no reason not to trust them when they told me I might have amernoplasia, even though I'd never heard it before. You're in good hands now. I wanted to believe that so badly that I didn't protest as they carried me inside. Dr. Whitman introduced himself to me in the whitewashed hallway while the paramedic inserted an IV into my arm. The curly, gray-haired doctor was so patient and kind, chattering with light-hearted enthusiasm about the impressive capabilities of their brand new hospital ward. He told me not to worry about all the plastic sheeting draped along the bare concrete walls in the next room, or the discarded construction equipment along the floor. "Have you ever experienced anything like this before?" Dr. Whitman asked, as he fiddled with my IV bag. I told him that I hadn't, but I had a family history of heart problems. I don't remember exactly what they were, though, but if I could just borrow a phone, I'd call my father and... But no, Dr. Whitman preferred to run his own tests and not be biased. I told him I'd still like to call my father and let him know what's going on, but he just smiled sadly and shook his head. The machines in our new facility are extremely delicate, and they'd have to be recalibrated if you made a call from here. Why don't you give this nice young man your father's number and tell him what you want to say, and I'll personally make sure he gets the message. My arm radiated icy cold where the IV was implanted, and I was beginning to feel drowsy. I mumbled out the number, staring up at the paramedic with his hands folded behind his back, his head cocked to the side in curiosity. "Shouldn't he be writing this down?" I mumbled. But Dr. Whitman just stroked my hair and smiled, and that's all I remember before falling into a deep and timeless sleep. I wish I could tell you more about the dream I had then, because the haunting images which flitted across my mind's eye felt as real as anything. I remember the hot pain in my chest, as keen and sharp as when I'd been awake. I was lying on a table of sorts, and there were faces peering down at me, but they were so fantastical in their construction that I never doubted that I was still asleep. Dr. Whitman was there, only his mustache had slipped down to the end of his chin, and both of his eyes were vertically aligned to the left side of his face. There were several others, too, their features a jigsaw puzzle of faces I had known throughout my life. One had my father's brown eyes glowering at me from inside large, flared nostrils that must have belonged to my middle school English teacher. Another had shaggy gray hair like one of my uncle's, although it only ever looked like the back of his head, no matter which direction he turned. Then a hand reached down toward me, and I thought I even recognized my own eyes at the end of the index and middle fingers staring back at me. The eyes seemed to lead the hand down toward my chest, but I slept on, immobile and unable to resist as a silver scalpel pierced the flesh of my sternum. It was all a macabre blur after that, but hands kept descending down toward me, and I had a vague sensation that they were taking turns placing one handful after another of something inside of me. The next thing I remember, I was waking up in my own bed at home, my familiar Star Wars posters hanging on the wall across from my bed.
"I think he's starting to come around," I heard my father's voice say. "How are you feeling, son? Are you still in pain?"
I clenched my eyes and rubbed them, opening again to stare at the man who was not my father. He had my father's eyes, where they were supposed to be, thankfully, but the cheeks were far too shallow and his mouth looked all wrong. I kept rubbing my eyes, unable to tear myself fully from the dream I'd had, the comforting pressure of a hand grounding me in reality, only it wasn't my father's hand. I can't say I can distinctly conjure my father's hand from memory, but I could tell, from the way it held me, like I might try to leap up and escape, that something was terribly wrong.
"It doesn't hurt anymore,"
I answered honestly, massaging my bandages wrapped around my chest. I think I'm going to be okay.
I don't know what you're talking about, my father's voice said suspiciously. Of course I'm your father.
I stared hard at him through the cloud of my haze, trying to remember whether I'd ever said that I doubted it.
It's the medication you're on, he continued defensively. It might play tricks on your memory, but you mustn't be alarmed. The paramedic called me just like you asked him to, and I picked you up at the hospital and brought you home. Everything has been taken care of, so just relax and try not to fiddle with the bandages. They have to stay in place for you to heal properly.
What hospital did you pick me up from? I asked cautiously, watching his brown eyes narrow dangerously at the question.
What sort of question is that?
Don't you want to know about your immunoplasia? I'm sure you have a lot of questions about what caused your attack.
No, I want to know the address of the hospital, I said.
Why won't you tell me?
I see that you're still confused from the medication, my father's voice said. I'm going to fix you something to eat. I'll be right in the other room, so call if you need anything.
I closed my eyes and pretended to be resting until he left the room. Then I leapt out of bed and ran to the bathroom, slamming the door behind me. I stared at myself in the mirror, gingerly feeling along my bandages to find where the incision was. Right on my sternum, exactly where I had been cut in my dream, I proceeded to unwind the bandages, picking at the stitches that sealed my wound together. It stung, dully, and I had the distressing sensation of something else inside my chest, picking at the other side of the wound. I pulled my hand away, but the picking feeling persisted like something was trying to get out of me. I grabbed a pair of nail scissors and cut through the stitches in that location, wincing as my wound sagged slightly open. I stared at my chest in the mirror as a small brown antenna felt its way gingerly out from the wound, seemingly tasting the air before slipping back inside me. My fingers trembled, and I winced as I cut the stitches further back, trying to widen the space sufficiently to get a clearer look inside. The hot pain that had first sent me to the hospital was beginning to return, though, and after staring at the wound for several seconds, I thought the medication was still making me imagine things. I started wrapping the bandages back around me when, all at once, a small, brown insect exploded out through the hole, wriggling free to run down the length of my body and off across the floor. That's when the bathroom door opened, and I saw the man who was not my father glaring at me.
You shouldn't have done that, he growled. Get dressed. We're going back to the hospital to get you stitched up again.
I nodded, numb and afraid to resist what I so clearly didn't understand. I just hope I can go to a real hospital this time. That's the end of this short story. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, let me know. I'd really appreciate hearing your thoughts on what you thought. And subscribe for more if you're feeling so kind. If you'd like to support the channel more, you can do so on Patreon. It'd be great to have you there. But you know what would be fun? If you joined us on Discord and chatted with a fantastic community. It's small as of time of recording, but I think you'd like it. If you'd like to send me your story to read, head over to storiesaftermidnight.com where you will find a link to do so. And thank you very much for listening. We'll see you in the next one.